is Universal in gold lettering orbits, the Universal logo. An MCA company, 75th anniversary. A busy shopping mall, people bustle around in different directions. Imagine Entertainment presents an Ivan Reitman film. Arnold Schwarzenegger, a large double-faced man in sunglasses and a trench coat, stares over the railings at the mall plaza below. There, a smaller man in a grey suit, dark hair and a ponytail throws a coin into a fountain. Kindergarten Cop. The large man follows the smaller man as he strolls along the row of shops, smoking and glancing cautiously behind him. Penelope Ann Miller. Pamela Reed. Linda Hunt. The larger man stalks along the walkway above, never taking his eyes off the man with the ponytail, who seems unaware he is being followed. Richard Tyson. Carol Baker. The ponytailed man stops and talks to a young girl in pink tending a greetings card stall before moving on. Kathy Moriarty. Introducing Joseph Cousins, Christine Cousins. The larger man begins to follow more urgently, casting by Michael Chinnick. The larger man begins to run and pushes his way past shoppers to the top of some escalators, where he once more catches sight of the man with the ponytail.
Excuse me.
He barges his way past the line of shoppers waiting on the descending escalator. Music by Randy Adelman. Costumes designed by Gloria Gresham. The ponytailed man talks to an assistant in a beauty parlor. Elsewhere, a young man and woman in a dim-litted area.
Listen, you just gotta ask for at least $1,000,
okay? As much as I can, okay? You gotta hide.
I mean, his wife takes off with his kid and a couple of $1,000,000, and we're not gonna get $1,000.
Shut up and stay out of sight, okay? I told him I was coming alone.
She hides in a large box in a darkened storage room surrounded by mannequins and various other merchandise. Director of Photography Michael Chapman. The man with a ponytail slips through a set of swinging doors into an off-limits area of the mall. The larger man follows. Executive producers Joe Medjuk, Michael C. Gross. Screenplay by Murray Salem and Herschel Weingrod and Timothy Harris. Story by Murray Salem. The large man hurries along a corridor. Produced by Ivan Reitman, Brian Grazer. He glances up a flight of service steps but sees nothing and continues. At the end of the corridor, he sees a pair of swinging doors. He stops and thinks before turning back and climbing the stairs. The young man.
Hey, Mr. Crisp. How's it going?
The man with a ponytail.
You said you had information about my family.
Yeah, I do.
Crisp approaches.
Well, let's have it.
Well, it's gonna cost you, like $1,000. Okay, like that's obviously not my final offer. Like $750 would be fine. I mean, more than fine.
Just tell me what you have, Danny, and I'll take good care of you.
Danny glances around nervously.
Okay, that sounds fair. I was doing a delivery for Corky last week out of state, and I ran into your ex.
How'd she look?
She looked great, Mr. She changed her hair and stuff, but she looked like $1,000,000. She looked like about $3,000,000.
Did she see you?
No. I was changing a tire. Suddenly there she was across the street taking her kid into this school.
My boy.
Looked great. He looked very healthy. You know, it's a real nice, healthy place where they're living. It snows in winter there.
Danny. Where are they?
At the school where I saw them. Astoria Elementary School. It's in Astoria, Oregon.
Oregon.
Did you tell anyone else this?
No. No way. Hey, I'm not stupid, Mr. Crisp.
Crisp shoots Danny.
You not?
Crisp furtively walks across a delivery depot with his arms folded. He steps up onto a platform before a trash compactor full of cardboard boxes and discarded packaging. He stuffs his silenced pistol inside using a gloved hand.
Danny! Danny! No! Danny!
The large man hears.
Danny! No!
Danny's corpse.
Don't you do it!
The large man.
I didn't kill him. I didn't kill him.
Was it Crisp?
I don't know. I didn't see anything. I was in a box over there, and I didn't. What are you doing? Hey! 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 Stop it! Don't do that!
Don't go anywhere.
Let me go! No! Let me help him!
I don't like what you've done. I really don't like it. It feels terrible, and it looks dreadful.
I'm trying my best.
Well, maybe your best isn't good enough.
I'm back.
Oh, great. Well, that was fast.
It was easy. I have some great, exciting, wonderful news, Mother.
Oh, you always exaggerate, Cullen. Everything is always great, terrific. So what's so great?
I just found out where they're hiding.
Are you serious? You really know where he is?
Manicure, Mr. Crisp?
How could I say no to you?
Tell me. What's happened?
Just let me handle this myself, Mother. I know what I'm doing. Everything is under control.
The large man walks into the beauty parlor waving a handgun.
It's all right. I'm a police officer. Crisp, you're under arrest. Put your hands on your head, slowly. And get up.
Kimball, not again.
Your hands.
They're up. When are you going to leave me alone?
Drop the gun! Yeah, that's right. Drop the gun! Hey, I'm a police officer. This is an arrest.
This man is crazy. Look at him. He wants to kill me. You're just going to stand there?
Freeze! I'm a cop, you idiot. I'm Detective John Kimball. This man is under arrest.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I'm checking it out.
You can't just walk in here and put a gun in my face. I'm trying to get a manicure. I have witnesses.
I have a witness, too. It's murder one this time. Now you're mine.
Handcuff me to a dead man. A dead man.
Come on, sit down.
Got it, yeah.
Now, did Danny ever say... No. What Crisp's wife looked like. Now, did he ever say what name she was using in Oregon?
He didn't say anything. Look, I just want to get out of here and go home, okay?
Right after the lineup. We'll drive you home afterwards.
No.
I'll even buy you dinner.
No.
Come on,
no.
Cindy, I'll even cook you dinner. What do you say?
I'm not doing any lineup. That's what I say. Now, let me out of here.
I've been after Crisp for 4 years, and she's going to let my key witness walk right out of here? I'm going
to... Kimball, sit down.
Okay, sit down.
Sit.
Sit.
In adjacent rooms, Kimball and the girl sit in tandem.
He killed your boyfriend. All you have to do is point your finger and we can put it away for 30 years.
He wasn't my boyfriend. I hardly knew the guy.
The detective throws a despairing glance at the one-way mirror.
I know you're in there. I know what you want, but you ain't getting it, ever. No lineup, no testimony. So you take your handcuffs, now let me out of here. Slow down.
O'Hara, meet Kimball. Kimball's been on this a long time.
Well, hi.
Let me take care of Cindy. She'll make Crisp, I guarantee it.
Well, what are you gonna do? Handcuff her to the bumper of your car and take her for a ride?
Let's just say I'm not gonna offer to cook her dinner.
Kimball, hold on a second.
He walks off.
Difficult, man. Gotta get to know him.
Oh, I can't wait.
Nighttime. Kimball in his sunglasses and trench coat trots purposefully up the dim external steps of a dilapidated, graffiti-strewn building. From the window, a light flashes red and green. He approaches a grated door and cautiously enters, nonchalantly pushing the bouncers out of his way. Inside, reprobates and tough-looking youths.
Open up.
Can't come in.
Kimball shoves the fenced gate, sending the swarthy biker type flying backwards into glass.
Thank you.
Angry men fire pistols at Kimball. Kimball ducks and returns fire with a pump-action shotgun. Outgunned, the men scatter.
All right, party's over. Everyone go home.
He pushes a man over.
Next time, my place.
So who are you, man?
He runs.
I'm the party pooper.
The remaining people scatter.
Hi, Cindy.
A large man sits with her.
Do you mind if I sit down?
No, sit down, man.
He runs off as Kimball sits next to Cindy.
Oh, it's so nice to see you again.
Why are you staring at me like that?
I like you, Cindy. I'm gonna be around you a lot. Days, nights, weekends, holidays.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. I'm gonna hang out with you until the end of time.
All right, move it in. Let's go. Step out to the numbers. Face front.
A police lineup.
Everybody hands to your side.
That's the creep.
Who?
Number 5. That's him.
It's Crisp with his long hair hanging free.
Good. Very good.
The courtroom.
Mr. Crisp, you will be remanded into custody until your trial. Bailiff, remove the prisoner.
Shh, don't say anything. Take it easy. I'll take care of it. Trust me.
Crisp in handcuffs and prison clothes is led away by the bailiff. He whispers to his mother.
You know what to do.
I'm your mother, aren't I?
The sour-faced, middle-aged woman in a grey suit, white bow and immaculate pinned-up hair watches as Crisp is led away. Kimball relieves the bailiff.
Do you mind if I talk to my friend a little bit?
Hey, I'm not talking to anybody without my lawyer.
He's right in here.
Kimball, in a brown leather jacket and denim shirt, violently shoves Crisp into an interview room and sits him down.
You give me the names of your drug suppliers and distributors, and I'll tell the judge what a nice cooperative killer you are.
You think the jury's gonna convict me on the testimony of that junkie?
You could be right.
Kimball sits on the desk next to Crisp and stares at him.
But what about your wife? You remember her? Or that hard-earned drug money she stole from you? How much was it? $3 million? I bet she would make a much better witness.
Kimball, you've wasted years chasing after me, and what has it gotten you? Hmm? Nothing. I'll be out of here in a week, and you'll still be eating takeout food in that dump you live in. Yeah, I know all about you, Kimball. Without me, you wouldn't even have a life. My old lady left because of the money. Yours left because she just couldn't stand the sight of you.
O'Hara unwraps a sandwich.
I've never seen anyone so little eat so much.
Yeah, I know. I'm hypoglycemic. If I don't eat regularly, I get a little nuts. Come on. Where are you from?
Austria.
How long have you been a cop?
Been a cop for 12 years. Father was a cop. Brother was a cop. Mother was a cop's wife. And I have no hobbies.
Good news. Okay. You two are booked on the first flight out to Portland tomorrow morning. Now, I want you to locate Crisp's wife and offer her immunity in exchange for a testimony against him.
No offense to O'Hallahan. This is my case, and I work alone.
He works alone. Not anymore. She's going in undercover as a substitute kindergarten teacher. Not exactly a job for you.
I was a teacher before I joined the force. Don't worry about it. We'll be fine.
So what do I do?
She locates the kid, you find the mother and the cash, and Crisp spends the best years of his life making license plates. Bon voyage.
Oh, and Kimball. The name's O'Hara.
An landscape.
Okay, here's the wife at 17. Real name's Rachel Myatt. She's from Hannibal, Missouri, class of 76. She's a cheerleader, first violin in the school orchestra, and captain of the girls' softball team. Her ambition was to travel, experience life, and meet interesting people.
Crisp.
Yeah.
A child kicks Kimball's seat.
Okay.
Kimball glares at the blonde-headed boy behind him.
Relax. Don't let him get to you.
Officer?
That's her, 10 years later.
That's a great shot of an ear. Did you get in touch with your parents?
No, they're both dead. The only relative she's got left is the kid.
Kimball grabs the toy truck from the blonde kid. O'Hara gives it back.
Okay, this is the only picture we have of him. Cullen Jr., age 3 months.
That helps much.
It's the best I could do, okay?
Breakfast, sir?
Ma'am?
Please.
No.
That's the first.
A tray of food.
Listen, I was just thinking, maybe we should take a wild stab at getting to know each other before we have to pretend we're man and wife.
What do you want to know?
Well, how long have we been married?
A long time. This way people don't expect us to talk much to each other.
Hey, give me that.
Come on, let's
eat it too.
Yeah.
Stop it.
No,
please.
No.
Let me take a look.
No.
Hey, come here. If you don't stop screwing around back there, this is what I'm going to do with you.
Kimball snaps a pencil with his thumb.
Oh.
What's the matter?
I don't know.
What's wrong?
I don't know. I just don't feel so good.
Are you hungry?
Mm-mm. I gotta get out of here right now. I gotta go move my boat. Move. Come on, get those tree stumps out of my way before I vomit all over you.
O'Hara rushes down the aisle. The stewardess approaches Kimball.
Is your wife okay, sir?
Compared to what?
Rain falls over the pine-topped hills of Oregon. A silver Plymouth Acclaim poodles along a wet road signposted Sunset Highway.
Maybe it was the burrito. Or it could have been the sausages. I don't think it was the crab salad. It couldn't have been the donuts. Excuse me. Oh, I hate feeling like this.
I hate it too.
Kimball drives.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh what?
Uh-oh. Pull over.
Now?
Yeah. Please hurry.
The Plymouth pulls up outside a service station, a quaint wooden cabin with a copper Ford F-Series and a lorry carrying logs parked outside. O'Hara rushes out of the car to the toilet, but the door is locked. She sprints into the main building.
The key! See the key!
She runs back, carrying a key from which hangs a huge silver hubcap. She frantically unlocks the lady's toilet door and rushes in, throwing the key out behind her. Daylight fades as the car cruises along a road winding through the countryside. It pulls up on the verge and O'Hara rushes out and retches in the bushes.
You need a hand?
She waves a hand behind her as she's sick. Kimball has to stop himself vomiting as he looks on. O'Hara staggers back to the car but weakly stumbles on the uneven ground. Kimball runs over and hoists her to her feet and helps her back into the passenger seat.
You okay?
I'm fine.
Nighttime, and Kimball holds an umbrella for O'Hara as she is sick over a fence, before carrying her back to the car, silhouetted by the headlamps.
I'll be fine. Class starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'll be fine, you know.
Oh, you look much better already.
Kindergarten, 6-year-olds. That's why I quit teaching, you know. I got so sick of other people's kids. I was afraid that I'd never want to have any of my own.
Kimball stares sadly forward through the windscreen wipers and the rain. O'Hara lays on the back seat.
I have a son. He's 13. I remember when he was 5. He lives with his mother and stepfather. What's the matter?
What is that?
Oh, excuse me, I forgot to tell you. This is my ferret. He didn't bite, don't worry.
She panics as the ferret snuffles around her. A quiet suburban street, a red neon motel sign.
Come on. Come on. That's all I needed is an obstacle. Goddamn obstacle. He sends an obstacle. Here.
Das macht mich stocksauer. Jetzt bin ich sauer.
Kimball carries the pathetic O'Hara into the motel room. Morning, the red-brown bobbed hair of O'Hara covers her face as she hangs off the bed.
Oh, God. Don't worry. I'm gonna make it. I just need a minute. I'll be ready in just a minute. I just got... Oh, God.
A clean-shaven Kimball dons a green velvet leisure jacket and white shirt as he pats aftershave on his cheeks.
How do I look?
The sweaty, disheveled O'Hara lies on the bed and eyes him up and down.
Take off the gun.
A holstered gun.
It's a good idea.
He takes off his jacket and slips the holster off his shoulders.
We're gonna eat you alive.
Get some rest and don't worry. I've been working undercover for a long time. They're 6-year-olds. How much trouble can they be?
On second thought, take the gun.
Astoria, Oregon. A truss bridge spans the mouth of the Columbia River. Cars drive along the main street downtown. Huge piles of logs are stacked up. Yellow school buses pull up to a clean white edifice with trimmed lawns and a Stars and Stripes flying over. Inside, Kimball sits patiently in front of a child's painting. He watches an attractive young teacher with blonde curly hair talk to a child who waits in a line of other children on the same bench as Kimball.
Matthew, I sent you to the principal's office because you punched Jenny. I know she poisoned your hamsters. She told me all about it, and she's very sorry. And I'm sorry that I didn't believe you.
She looks at him and smiles.
But you shouldn't punch people.
But she...
I know.
Mr. Kimball, Miss Schlowski will see you now.
All right, let's go back to class.
Miss Schlowski, a tiny elderly woman, steps out of an office.
Can I help you?
I'm John Kimball, your new kindergarten teacher.
We were expecting a Miss O'Hara.
There's been a change of plan.
4 weeks into the new semester, my superintendent told me I had to replace Mrs. Hagley, a kindergarten teacher of 25 years' experience, with an undercover police officer, and he wouldn't even tell me why. I don't suppose you would do me the courtesy of filling me in.
I can't do that.
Oh, you can't do that. I'm watching you. All I have to do is tell my parents that you're here for something to do with the police. And they'll yank their kids out of this school so fast we'd have to close the place. And don't you think I won't if I feel my children are in any danger?
They're not in danger.
She leans aggressively over the seated Kimball.
I assume you have some teaching experience.
They wouldn't have sent me otherwise.
Suspecting eyes peer out from under her brown bunched hair as she sits behind a desk. She leads Kimball, who is almost twice her height, down the corridor and stops at a classroom.
Just wait here a minute.
Inside, a dozen or so children run riot. The kids rush to a large colourful carpet and sit down cross-legged.
Ah, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Miss Schlowski.
Your teacher, Mrs. Hagley, had to go on an important trip for a few days.
Where'd she go?
That doesn't matter.
Did she die?
No, Lowell. She went to see someone.
Did they die?
No, Lowell.
Everyone dies, you know.
I know, but not for a long, long time. Now, until Mrs. Hagley comes back, we have someone special to help. This is Mr. Kimball, your new kindergarten teacher.
The towering Kimball steps up slowly and casts a mean face down on the awestruck children, who look up with mouths agape.
Now let's everybody say good morning, Mr. Kimball.
Good morning, Mr. Kimball.
Good morning.
They're all yours. I'll be watching you.
She leaves. Kimball scans the class looking awkward.
Hi. How are you?
The kids just sit fidgeting.
I'm very happy to be here. First, I would like to just get to know you.
He sits on the piano.
Ha 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 ha. Quiet. I want to ask you a bunch of questions. And I want to have them answered immediately. How many of you were born in Astoria?
The children don't respond.
Come on, raise your hands. Let's see them.
Almost all the children raise their hands.
Okay, Now, anyone that was not born in Astoria, somewhere outside like California, raise your hands.
Almost all the children raise their hands and put them down again, except one dark-haired boy. A curly-haired girl in lilac dungaree stands.
Yes.
I need to go to the bathroom and I can't get these things off.
Kimball fiddles with her braces. Twin girls, both with hair bunched at the sides of their heads, look on.
I get someone to help you. I'll be right back, okay?
A panicky Kimball rushes out of the room and looks up and down the corridor. Opposite, the blonde, curly-haired teacher holds a class.
You've learned that the E is often silent when it immediately follows another vowel. Now write and say these words in which...
He taps on the window.
Oh, class, Catherine, can you take over for me, please? Thank you.
E is the fifth letter of the alphabet. Is it vowel?
Yes, can I help you?
I have a problem.
Mr. Campbell, I need to go real bad.
First day?
Yes.
I'll take care of her.
Thank you.
She leads the girl by the hand.
You know, kindergarten is like the ocean. You don't want to turn your back on it.
Oh, they're okay. Don't worry. Everything is under control.
Through the window, the class run wild.
No. Monsters!
He rushes in while out-of-control six-year-olds dash here and there.
What are you doing with this?
Two boys paint red squiggles on the blackboard. Another tips white flour everywhere. A dark-haired young boy looks up the skirts of girls who stand on the desk. Miss Schlowski and her assistant appear through the window in amazement. Two boys at the sink splash water over each other.
Aren't you gonna break it up?
No, two more days of this, and you'll quit.
A red-faced Kimball gets up from the floor with a furious scowl.
Shut up!
All the children stop and begin to cry.
No. Don't start this. Oh, no.
Kimball rushes out of the room. Out of the school, he stops. Above him, the words Astoria Elementary School adorn the building's grand facade as he sprints up the street to where his silver Plymouth is parked. He rummages in the back seat. Back in class, the pupils are calmer.
Attention!
The children whip their heads around.
This is your new class mascot.
What happened to your dog?
This is not a dog. This is a ferret.
What's a fairy?
That's a ferret. Oh.
If he bites you, you get rabies and you die.
No, it is not true. He never bites.
Can I pet him?
Sure, but one at a time, okay? Good. Okay, next one. Come on. Yes. Good. Yeah. Good, now we're having fun.
A horde of children rush out of the school's front entrance in excitement. Kimball sits in despair as his pupils file out of the ravaged classroom. One boy with blonde hair and a red baseball jacket sees him as he leaves and turns back. He stands before Kimball and shakes his head.
What's that supposed to mean?
Mrs. Hadley's a lot better than you.
Is she? Is she really?
Kimball gets up.
My mom's a teacher in the school. She's a lot better than you, too.
Great.
On Monday nights, my mom tutors, and Mrs. Quinn takes care of me, and she's better than you, too.
Great.
And Frankie, my swimming teacher, and Gus, my t-ball coach, are better than you, too.
He helps tidy the classroom.
I really appreciate your honesty. Do you happen to know someone that is not better than me?
The boy thinks.
I don't know that many people.
Back at the motel, a shell-shocked Kimball falls on the bed exhausted, waking O'Hara in the next room. She sleeps with a magazine over her face.
John? Hey there.
Kimball's face is scrunched as he lays on the bed face down.
How'd it go?
Go away.
It went that well, huh?
You take over tomorrow.
Blow our cover. Can't do it.
They're horrible.
Tell me about it.
This makes the school runners, children and parents mill around outside the school. The muscular Kimball, dressed in brown slacks and a claret polo shirt, rolls up.
He's gay. What kind of a man teaches kindergarten? He's obviously gay.
Yeah, well, a male kindergarten teacher is just not what I'm used to.
Samantha calls him the giant.
A red-headed boy runs up.
There he is.
Where, honey?
The buff, handsome Kimball strolls along the pavement and the mother stare gobsmacked.
Holy cow, is that your new teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
She turns away.
What are you doing?
I don't want him to see me without my makeup.
None of us are wearing makeup.
Well, you're married. You're allowed to look like slobs.
Okay, be a good boy and I'll be back later on to pick you up, okay?
Good morning, Mr. Kimball.
Good morning.
I told you he was big.
Yeah, go ahead and play with the kids, honey.
He runs off, leaving his seductive blonde mother.
Hi, I'm Jillian, Sylvester's mom. I was wondering if you might have a minute. I'd like to speak with you.
Sure. Please.
Thank you. A male kindergarten teacher. That's unusual. You're not from around here, are you?
No, I'm not.
Neither am I.
Huh.
Anyway, I have a small problem.
Yes?
You see, Sylvester's father doesn't live with us anymore. And, and I've just been worried about Sylvester. He's been acting a little strange lately. You know, doing odd things.
Like what?
Well, it seems that he's becoming a little obsessed with playing with dolls. You know, it's weird.
I think I can help you with that.
Really?
He uses the dolls to look up girls' skirts. I caught him doing it yesterday.
Oh. Oh, well, that's a relief.
But I'll keep an eye on him, okay?
Thank you.
Does Sylvester ever see his father?
No. No, not since he was two. His father lives in California.
Well, it's far away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you give me his name and number, I could talk to him about taking more interest in his son.
That's very kind of you, but I don't think so.
But it's kind of tough in Sylvester, don't you think?
Are you married, Mr. Kimball?
The red-headed boy.
No, I'm not.
He rushes to the door.
Welcome to Astoria, the single-parent capital of America. Thank you for your time.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Various pillaged lunchboxes are lined up on the red carpet, next to which a chubby boy scoffs crisps.
Are this all your lunches?
He shakes his head.
You mean you eat other people's lunches? Stop it!
He spits it out. Kimball drops him.
Now we're going to do something extremely fun. We're going to play a wonderful game called Who is My Daddy and What Does He Do? Yes?
Is your daddy a fireman?
He's probably big. Is he a wrestler?
Is he a basketball coach?
No.
What's the matter?
I have a headache.
It might be a tumor.
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor at all. What I meant was, you tell me, who is your daddy and what does he do? Oh. Get it? Okay, we start right here. You.
My dad repairs red cars driven by women who are pinheads.
A freckly brown-haired girl.
My dad doesn't do anything since the crash. My dad gives money to people that doesn't have money. And then people use that money. And then they give other money back and they give the same amount of money back to my dad.
My dad doesn't live with us anymore. He lives in New York and drives a taxi. My mom hopes he's gonna die real soon.
Kimball sits and makes notes on a pad of paper.
My dad watches TV all day long. My dad works on computers, and he's the boss of his company. And he has a mustache and a beard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He doesn't have that much hair, and his head is so big that he can't wear any hats.
My dad's Joe Forrest.
My mom's divorced. My dad is a psychologist, and he helps people that are hurt or lost their feelings, and that's it. I don't know what my dad does. I haven't seen him in a long time. He lives in France.
The blonde-haired boy.
Mi papá trabaja en la casa y él juega conmigo mucho.
Thank you. Very good. Okay, next, what's his name with his back to me?
His name is Zach Sullivan. He doesn't like anyone to talk to him.
He's a poo-poo head.
Yeah, he's a poo-poo face.
He's a cock-a-poo-poo. Yeah.
He's a poo-poo!
A melancholy child with dark hair and a Beatles fringe sits alone at the back bashing toy trucks together.
Quiet! That's enough.
Kimball kneels down to him.
Zach, did your daddy teach you this game? Come on, Zach. Let's all play together. It's so much more fun.
Let me loose!
What's that? It's a fire alarm!
Yeah!
Come on! Come on! Everything together! Come on! Come on! Get all of it together! Come on!
Pupils file orderly out of the building. Joyce leads her class in an organized fashion. The fire chief accompanies Miss Schlowski, who is holding a stopwatch. In contrast to the others, Kimball's class comes out screaming in chaos.
Come on! Come on! Get all of together! Everything together! Come on! Come on! Quiet! Quiet! Come on!
Well, we're all glad the kindergarten class could join us.
Pupils snicker.
At 4 minutes, you should be ashamed of yourselves. All the other grades, your times were an improvement, but they're still not good enough. I'm very disappointed. All right, let's get back into school.
Home time, and the pupils collect their belongings from their red lockers in the corridor before skipping out of the building. Kimball stands exhausted. He sees Zach in the crowd looking glum and follows him. The boy climbs into a blue Volvo.
Mr. Sullivan!
Kimball runs up.
Mr. Sullivan!
The car drives away. Dusk on a busy main street, Kimball and O'Hara walk together.
So the doctor says it's a stomach flu. I'm fine, and I can eat anything I want. Let's find a restaurant.
Listen, can we talk business for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
There are 14 boys in the classroom. So far, I have 3 possible suspects, 1 likely. Here, I have a picture. Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, here. His name is Zach Sullivan. What do you think?
Yeah, he's cute. Doesn't anybody eat around here?
Listen, he's a date ringer for Crisp. Look.
A photograph.
Maybe. Come on, John. I'm hungry.
Yes, Mr. Chapman. A table for two.
Yes?
Thank you very much.
Two hot dogs.
Two hot dogs?
Mr. Kimball! Mr. Kimball!
Dominic!
It's him, Mom.
Oh, yes. Joyce.
Hello, Joyce. Dominic has been such a great help. He's a good kid.
Yeah.
Hey, who's that?
Dominic.
Who?
Her.
Well, that? That is,
I am his sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would never have guessed.
Ah, yeah. Well, sometimes you have to excuse my brother. He has no manners at all. My name is Ursula. It's wonderful to meet you. I'm visiting here from Austria.
I'm Joyce Palmieri. I work at John's school.
Ah.
And this is Dominic.
Hello, Dominic.
Nice to meet you.
Ah, it's nice to meet you, too.
Would you like to join us for dinner?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Oh, they'll be great.
Hi, there'll be 4 of us.
Table 27.
Why did you tell her you're my sister?
Relax, Butch. The love doctor is here.
They sit.
Come to me. I want to start. Okay. I want a ribeye steak with mashed potatoes and a large green salad. Oh, no. Wait a minute. I want to start with the spicy chicken things. Oh, they're not the tiny bitty ones without meat on them, are they?
Actually, it's quite a large serving.
Ah, good. Ooh. Good arms. And a large bowl of the clam chowder and a blueberry pie with ice cream for dessert. Yeah.
Kimball smiles.
I like how they talk.
They eat dessert.
So, I've been trying to get to know the parents, but some of them are avoiding me.
Well, some of the parents are like that. It's a strange town that way, especially with new arrivals.
What do you mean?
Well, I think a lot of people that come to small towns are trying to get away from something, or they're hiding something.
Like what?
Well, for example, what brought you here?
Me? Well, there was an opening for a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah, but what made you become a kindergarten teacher? I mean, it is a bit unusual.
Well, Bob, John is a bit unusual. Well, you are.
I was born in Austria, and my father was a teacher. My mother was a teacher. So is Ursula.
Yeah?
So we have a tradition in Austria where we follow the footsteps of our parents. So when I moved to this country, I got a job teaching geography and physical education in Arizona. And then I coached basketball at an all-girls school in Rhode Island. But none of it made me really happy.
Why weren't you happy?
Yeah. Why weren't you happy?
Well, I got tired of teaching teenagers. Because by the time they came to me, I felt there wasn't much I could do with them. I realized that the real action is in kindergarten.
How long have you been teaching kindergarten?
It's my second day.
Oh, cool. Excuse me. But it's good. It is good.
Thanks again. It was fun.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye.
I had a great time.
Yeah, me too. Well, Kimball, I think you scored.
She winks.
Whoa. What are you talking about? The only reason why I'm interested in this woman is because she works at the school. She knows the children and the parents.
Kimball, if you were any stiffer, we could take you surfing. Now, I know you like that woman. What is your problem?
The only problem I've got is that I'm doing your job. You should be cleaning up the paint. You should be reading stories about bears that go shopping. That is your job, and I'm stuck with it.
Yeah, you are.
That's right, I am.
Look, you're going to be out of here in a few days. You told me yourself you had a few good leads. You're going to be back to dealing with junkies and murderers in no time.
They stand on a wooden pier overlooking the Columbia River. Moored fishing boats bob in the black water. Kimball stares at O'Hara, sighs, and sits sadly on a bench.
They're pushing me around.
Who?
The kids. They're walking all over me.
O'Hara looks at him sympathetically. She walks over and sits down.
Listen, Kimball, you gotta handle this like any other police situation. You walk into it showing fear, you're dead. And those kids know you're scared.
She stares at him. He turns his head slowly towards her.
No fear.
No fear.
She smiles, mourning.
Today we're going to play a new fun game. It's called Police School. I'm going to be a sheriff. You're going to be my deputy trainees. Oh, come on. Stop whining. Your kids are soft. You lack discipline. Well, I've got news for you. You are mine now. You belong to me. You're not going to have your mommy slam behind you anymore and wipe your little douches. Oh, no. It's time now to turn this mush into muscles.
The children stare at him.
No more complaining, no more Mr. Kimball have to go to the bathroom, nothing. There is no bathroom! Now, the first thing the deputy trainees have to learn is to freeze whenever you hear this. Now, the next time you hear this whistle, each one of you get one toy. How many?
One!
Good, and bring it back to the carpet, pronto. Ready? Wait for it! Wait for it. Sit down. Ready? Go, quickly. Get your toy. Go, go for it. Yes, very fast. Good, quickly. Bring the toy back. Bring the toy back to the carpet. Bring it back to the carpet. Quick. Back to the carpet. Quickly.
The curly-haired girl dawdles.
Emma!
She cuddles a rag doll.
Emma, get your toy back to the carpet.
I'm not a policeman, I'm a princess.
Take your toy back to the carpet.
I'm not a policeman, I'm a princess.
Take it back!
All right.
She trots back to the carpet with the rest of the children. The children are startled.
Very good. Did very well. Now we're going to play another game. When you hear two whistle blows, each one of you take your toy back where you got it from and come right back to the carpet. How many whistle blows?
Two!
Good. Ready? Go! Come on. Come right back to the carpet. Yes, it works. This is great. Faster, faster, come on. Yes, come back. Terrific, this is working. Great, great. I mean, you're very good deputies. Your sheriff is proud of you.
Dominic gives Kimball the okay gesture.
One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four.
A montage. The children march in unison around the school grounds. Kimball picks up a small boy who straggles behind. Children do star jumps. The children roll their necks. In the playground outside, Kimball seesaws with four children on the other end. He teaches them how to climb a rope in the gym. He tries to hula hoop with the children but fails, much to their amusement. He hits the fire bell. In the classroom, Kimball has them all doing sit-ups in a line.
30, 31, 32, 33. One more, come on down, and up, come on, yes, yes, Zach is the winner, give him a hand, come on, guys.
Zach carries the ferret as the children march out in twos.
Writing arithmetic.
Arithmetic.
Too much homework makes me sick. When it's time to pass the test. Kindergarten is the best.
Kimball offers a tray of milk around the children.
All right, take your milk. It's a bit strong.
The children sit on a mat in the classroom and take a small carton each.
It's story time, Mr. Kimball.
All right.
We all like this one. And if you read us a story now, everybody will go to sleep.
Dominic hands Kimball a small hardback book entitled When We Were Young by Ernest R. Shepherd. He stares at it and sits down slowly.
I used to read this to my son.
What's his name?
Who?
Your son.
Oh, Alex is his name.
Where is he?
He lives with his mother.
A chubby girl with brown hair and Zach look at Kimball expectantly. Rain claws at the window behind him.
You see, his mother and I, we are...
Divorced, I know. What's a divorce? It's when your daddy has to live someplace else and comes over to take you places, and your mommy says he's a deadbeat.
No, it's when the daddy doesn't want to see his little boy anymore.
Now, that's not what it is.
Why don't you want to see your little boy? Was he bad?
No, he wasn't bad. It wasn't his fault at all. You see, his mommy and I, we just met.
Dominic sits next to him looking up. Kimball stops himself and sighs.
Just sit down, okay?
He sits down.
Let me just start reading. Okay, why don't you all lie down? Okay. Good, and rest.
The kids lie down and pull blankets over themselves.
If you were a bird, and
lived on high. You'd lean on the wind when the wind came by. You would say to the wind when it took you away, that's where I wanted to go today. Where am I going? I don't quite know. What does it matter where people go? Down to the wood where the bluebells grow. Anywhere, anywhere, I don't know.
On the mat, the children sleep side by side in two rows. Some have blue or beige blankets pulled over them. Some lay face down, some on their side, and some on their back. At his desk at the end, Kimball sits calmly writing. Out of the rain-soaked window next to him, Crisp slides into view. Kimball looks up as Crisp, drenched by the rain, reaches into his saturated raincoat and pulls out a large silver pistol. The terrified Kimball shouts as Crisp fires. Kimball jolts from his sleep to find Joyce has entered.
Hi.
Hi.
The shaken Kimball looks out of the window to where Crisp was, but nobody's there.
I didn't mean to startle you.
I must have dozed off.
Can't believe you got them all to sleep.
He gets up and approaches her.
I worked them hard.
I was wondering if you'd like to come to my place for dinner tomorrow night.
I would like that. Thanks.
Great. Well, here are the directions. How about 6:37?
It will be fine.
She nods and smiles coquettishly, her scarlet lips revealing a row of perfect white teeth.
What?
You got a little mustache.
She wipes his lip.
Must be from the milk.
She gazes into his eyes amorously.
Well, I better get back to class.
He nods.
I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
He watches her leave with hungry eyes. Kimball drives along a wet road that winds through the pines. He pulls up to the motel where he and O'Hara are staying to find a black Dodge Shadow parked outside their suite. He stops his silver Acclaim next to it, cuts the engine, and gets out, cautiously staring at the vehicle. He fishes the keys out of his blue rain jacket and unlocks the claret door set into the beige wood panelling of the suite. By him hangs an external lamp. Inside, he creeps around the door and closes it again. He grabs a pistol stashed behind a bureau by the window. He steps up to the bedroom door and bursts in.
Freeze!
No! This is Henry Shoup, my fiancé.
A balding man.
Hi.
Your fiancé?
It's okay, honey.
Okay,
It's my birthday.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, thanks. He came all the way up here just to surprise me. And he made me my favorite. Pasta a olio.
Henry re-emerges from the bathroom dressed in a pink robe. O'Hara sits in bed eating pasta.
I love you, Henry.
I love you too, Phoebes. Well, I've got to head back tonight. I've got to work.
Henry's a chef.
I'm a chef.
You're marrying a chef?
I'm marrying a great chef.
That figures.
You mean that? A great chef?
Of course I mean it. You're a genius, Henry.
Not just a good chef?
Well, no. Listen, it was nice to meet you. Congratulations. Like happy birthday.
Didn't you?
Thanks.
It wasn't overcooked.
Home time, and the kids rush excitedly down the steps of the main entrance. Zach paces sadly by himself as his mother's blue Volvo pulls up.
Zach?
A dowdy young woman.
Excuse me, I'm John Kimball, I'm Zach's teacher.
No, he's following me.
Hi. I've been leaving messages on your machine.
I'm sorry, things have been kind of hectic.
What about now?
She looks nervous.
Go for a little walk, Zach. Your teacher and I have to talk for a minute, okay?
Zach gets out of the passenger seat and skulks away. Kimball waits leaning over the driver's side window in a blue and white striped shirt.
I know what this is about.
She stares forward, bracing herself and fighting back the tears.
I suppose you saw the bruises on Zack's legs?
Kimball looks perplexed.
My husband has started counseling about this. He's been going for 3 weeks now. Please don't bring the school system into it. It'll only make matters worse.
He's beating you too?
I mean, if he wasn't going to counseling, I could see the point of saying something. But I'm sure there's not going to be any more occurrences.
She avoids his gaze.
You won't say anything, will you? Please?
He stares intensely.
If he does it again, I press charges.
She looks back at him with a frightened expression. Kimball walks around the car to where Zack waits with his rucksack, looking away. Kimball strokes his head.
Zack.
Zack turns sadly and walks back to the car. A busy market street. The young blonde Cindy looks anxious as she lights a cigarette. She walks up to a young man tending a toy stall.
Have you got the stuff?
A bag of white powder.
Thanks, man.
She trades it for cash and walks off down the bustling walkway. Crisp's mother, Eleanor, in a purple skirt and matching purse, emerges from the back of the store.
Okay, lady, I give her your stuff. Now where's the rest of my money?
A wad of cash.
Who are you, old lady?
I'm fairy godmother.
Kimball's motel.
Come in.
Hi. Well, it took me all day, but I found out that Zack Sullivan and his mother
aren't related to Crisp, and I just found out.
Oh, well, I got a bottle of wine for your big date. Oh, it's not a date, I know, but we don't want Joyce to think that now, do we?
Thanks, I don't think it's a good idea.
Why not?
The quickest way to slip up doing undercover work is to start doing things that you normally wouldn't do.
Kimball in a suit.
Wait a minute. Do you mean to tell me that you wouldn't take a bottle of wine to a woman who's invited you over for dinner? Of course you would. You know you would. And flowers as well. Here you go.
A bouquet.
She'll love him.
Kimball drives up the hill in a suburban area and parks up next to an idyllic white house. Inside, Joyce sees him in holding his wine and flowers.
Well, here we are.
Wow, this is quite a place.
Thank you.
Must be paying you a lot more than they're paying me.
Well, I wish it was my house. It belongs to a friend of mine. After the divorce, he said Dominic and I could stay here in exchange for keeping the place up.
You must have nice friends.
Yes, I do. Dinner won't be ready for a few minutes. Can you start a fire?
I don't think there should be a problem.
Yeah, I'll show you where the wood is.
All right.
Come on!
Dominic leads Kimball to the garden.
Right here.
They jog across the lawn past the pink blossom into a small copse.
In here! This is my secret hiding spot.
Wow. This is amazing.
I made it myself.
What's this?
Don't touch that. It's a laser and I'll burn a hole right through you.
Okay, be careful. Oh, don't shoot.
Boom, boom, boom,
don't shoot.
I put up these lasers to protect us.
Pieces of silver foil adorn the trees.
Protect you from what?
The bad people. You want to see something else?
Dominic beckons Kimball over to the edge.
Come on.
What?
See that?
A telecoms tower.
You mean the tower?
I'm going to plant one of my lasers on that antenna, but I'll have to do it at night. Otherwise, the bad people will know where it is.
Kimball looks suspicious.
Last one to the table's a rotten banana.
Hey, have you guys had fun?
Yep.
Be right out.
Dominic joins Joyce in the kitchen while Kimball creeps around the darkened rooms of the house. He searches through some desk drawers, finding nothing but photos of Dominic. He creeps up the stairs. Now on the landing, he peeks into the child's bedroom with Ghostbusters bedsheets. He crosses into Joyce's bedroom and rummages through the drawers in her dresser. He finds nothing but various items of silky clothing. He approaches a white wardrobe door and opens it, groping around at the shelves above his head. He peeks inside a shoebox.
What you doing in there?
I'm lost. Where is the dining room? I mean, this house is huge.
Follow me, silly.
Dominic leads Kimball out.
These are beautiful pictures of you and Dominic.
Thank you.
Joyce serves coffee.
When I was putting Dominic to bed, he mentioned you had a son too.
That's right. But now I'm divorced. I'm very lucky because my ex could remarry a very nice man. He's really good to my son. I get to see a lot of him. And what about your ex-husband? Does he see Dominic often?
No. After the divorce, he moved back to France.
Well, what about child support? The alimony? I mean, does he take care of you? I'm sorry about being so personal.
They sit together with the glow from the fire on their faces.
I was so glad to see him go. I didn't worry about that part. Dominic doesn't even remember him. I prefer it that way.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Why?
Well, Dominic was talking to me about having to move around a lot to keep the bad people away.
Bad people?
Yeah, something about that he had to leave in the middle of the night and leave his toys behind.
She stares anxiously at Kimball.
I thought he'd forgotten about that.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to upset you.
It's not your fault. Truth is, my ex-husband is a walking nightmare. He didn't leave us. We left him.
Her face cast parting shadow.
Found out where we were, and he tried to kidnap Dominic. He doesn't know where we are now, and I'd like to keep it that way.
Of course. Glad he's in France and doesn't live nearby.
Kimball eyes her closely as she averts her gaze.
He doesn't live in France.
He looks at her expectantly and she squirms.
I told Dominic that he lived in France. I didn't know who my ex-husband was when I married him.
She stands up by the fire.
I was young and stupid and I made a mistake. I don't want Dominic to pay for it.
Kimball looks on. Abashed, Joyce sighs.
Look, nobody around here knows anything about this. I can't even believe I told you.
She sits back down and stares at the floor.
You have to promise me you won't tell anyone.
She looks imploringly at him. He stares.
You can trust me.
Very good.
Perfect. All right, let's try it again. Mary, you first.
470 years ago!
470 years ago!
Our forefathers fought.
Mr. Kimball, did Lincoln have forefathers? I had three fathers, one named Walt, two named Ralph.
The red-haired mother, now with makeup, looks embarrassed.
Did Lincoln have four mothers?
As a matter of fact, he had two mothers. Unfortunately, the first one died.
I knew it.
O'Hara at the back of the hall beckons Kimball over.
Okay. Let's take a break. Come on. I want you to walk around in a circle. Go. Start. Come on.
The kids all march in a line.
Well, Joyce's story about the house checked out. It belongs to a guy in San Diego who only uses it for 2 weeks during the ski season. She's got under $1,000 in the bank, no safe deposit box, no stocks, no bonds, no other assets under the name of Joyce Palmieri. Her teacher's salary is less than what I make, which is pathetic.
Keep looking. Check for offshore accounts. On Dominic's name, she
doesn't money deposit. Live like a woman with millions of dollars. She doesn't even seem the type. Kimball, this might not be her.
It's got to be her.
Why? Because she doesn't want to have anything to do with her ex-husband?
I know it's her.
You know what I think? I think you want it to be her. You really like her, and it's scaring you to death.
Excuse me! Surprise! Ladies! Ladies, surprise! Obviously, I'm not into baking cakes, so I brought these little things to donate for the raffle prizes.
Julianne with a donkey and a bicycle.
Who the hell is that?
So?
Well, she's the one I was telling you about.
3, 4. Hi. 1, 2, 3. Hi. Come on. 1, 2, 3, 4. Come on. Go, go.
I see they stuck you with the old Gettysburg address this year.
They sure did. Company, halt!
The children stop along the corridor and wait. Joyce, in a blue dress, holds some books.
About last night. I've been thinking about it, and I'm glad I told you all those things.
Oh, so am I.
She moves closer, gazing up at him.
I better get going.
Yeah, I have to get going too.
She moves off, but looks back with a smile.
Is everything okay?
Yeah.
See you tomorrow at the fair.
Looking forward to it.
She leaves. The children are bunched together, gawping at Kimball.
What are you looking at? March! 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2. We're just talking to the teacher, that's all. I mean, yeah. Don't laugh. Okay, I'm proud of you. Keep going.
Sorry, Zach's late. Car wouldn't start. You'll be a good boy. I love you.
Kimball puts his hands on Zach's shoulder.
Hi, champ. What's the matter?
He looks under Zach's collar to find bruising.
Oh, no.
I fell down again.
Outside, Kimball follows Zach's mother.
Hey, wait a minute.
She turns, edging backwards, afraid.
I forgot to close the door to the basement, and Zach had a bad fall. The doctor says it looks much worse than it really is.
Yeah, sure. You all say the same thing. The kid fell down the steps. Don't you have anything better to say than that?
It's true. Look, I don't have to justify myself to you. You don't have any right talking to me like that.
A man stands nervously by the blue Volvo.
Hey, how you doing? You must be the Mr. Kimball we hear so much about.
You hit the kid, I hit you.
The man lifts his fist, but Kimball blocks him and strikes him in the stomach. He collapses and Kimball picks him up and winds up for another punch, but he notices his audience of children.
Oh, you're not worth it. I'm pressing charges against you.
Everybody.
Miss Schlowski pushes past the crowd of onlookers and looks in shock at the scene. Kimball in her office.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have hit the man, especially in front of the children. It was a mistake.
She pouts at Kimball and plonks a blue file down in front of him.
I checked you out. There is no record of you ever having taught at any public school in California or anywhere else. Mr. Kimball, you have no teaching experience whatsoever, do you?
Someone finally noticed.
I thought the introduction of a ferret was a horrible idea, but the children seemed to like it. I thought the use of your police whistle was outrageous, but...
It's all I could think of.
Please allow me to finish.
Sorry.
But it worked. I have no idea what kind of police officer you are. But you're a very good teacher.
He looks up at her in amazement as she looms over him.
Thank you.
Now, will you tell me something? Don't lie. What did it feel like to hit that?
It felt great.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow morning. Bright and early.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Kimball leaves and she closes the door after him. Once he's gone, she punches the air and grins to herself, sighing in satisfaction. Elsewhere, Cindy lays dead in the morgue.
Yeah, that's her. And there goes our case. Tell O'Hara and Kimball the witness is dead, so Crisp is gonna walk.
O'Hara says they think they've located the wife.
Located the money?
She said they're looking into it.
Have him tell the wife we're letting Crisp go, and he knows where she is. She wants police protection. She better come up with the money.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm sorry it took so long, Colin. Hey, you're looking great, though.
Crisp walks out of the police station with his lawyer. He descends the stone steps in a smart gray suit where Eleanor waits.
I love you, Mother.
We're gonna be a family again, son.
Blue skies over Astoria's seafront. Dozens of people flock to red and white candy-striped marquees and fairground rides by a small copse of pine trees. A banner stands over bunched balloons reading Astoria Elementary School Fair. Small children ride a carousel chomping on pink candy floss. A country folk quartet stands on a platform in front of the bay and plays to a crowd. Children pet sheep and lambs in sawdust pens. A clown sits looking on. Kimball and Joyce run together in the three-legged race as the kids cheer them on. They tumble at the finish line and roll around together laughing, Kimball in a blue rugby shirt and Joyce in a pink sweater. Kimball's class line up on stage in Abe Lincoln beards and hats while a seated audience applauds.
Proposition
and dedicated to the proposition
that all men are created equal,
that all men are created equal,
and that government
of the people,
by the people,
and for the people
shall not perish from this earth.
Thank you very much.
They bow. Kimball and Miss Schlowski stand by the stage beaming. Miss Schlowski in a white Astoria Elementary polo neck sweater applauds and addresses the audience.
I'd like to introduce you to our kindergarten teacher. He came to us as a substitute teacher and he's proven to be a wonderful asset. Let's welcome him into our community and hope that he considers staying on a permanent basis. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John Kimball!
Overwhelmed, Kimball grins proudly to a standing ovation and walks on stage. The children crowd around him and hug him. Joyce grins and claps enthusiastically from the audience. Her curly shoulder-length hair flutters on a gentle breeze. On stage, Miss Schlowski stands against the azure backdrop of the sky and smiles at the blissful Kimball, who enjoys the adoration from his class. A busy main street downtown. Crisp, in black trousers, black sweater and a grey suit jacket, parks his Buick Century up.
Nice town.
He helps Eleanor out of the car.
Smell that fresh air. What's he think about buying something up here? Like some log cabin in the woods near a lake. Kids love that outdoor kind of stuff.
I'll be in the pharmacy, Cullen. Try not to step in anything.
She walks off. Crisp kneels down by a toy shop window and eyes the model racetrack on display. Miniature cars whiz automatically along a circuit that winds around a brown teddy bear and a stuffed pink ape, over which hangs more toys and balloons. He enters.
Yeah, I'd really like to help you. I think we're pretty much out of the race cars unless... Yeah. This is the last one. It's still in great shape. If you don't mind waiting, I'll just wrap it up for you. I'll knock 10% off the price.
Oh, excuse me. This is your lucky day. I have a better idea. I'll pay you twice what he's charging. I promised my boy I'd get him one of these.
Yeah, well, I'd love to help you, but my kid's been bugging me for one of these ever since Christmas. Sorry.
I'll pay you four times what it's worth. You can get your kid something even better.
Sorry. Hey, listen, can you gift wrap it? It's a birthday present.
Sure, yeah. Hannah, could you wrap that for me,
please? I tried. No harm in trying, but...
He leaves.
Tourists.
They all snigger. Kimball stands by the donkey ride supervising Dominic.
Great, Dominic. You're doing well. I'll wait right over here for you, okay?
Kimball lets out a sigh of satisfaction as he grins to himself. He spots O'Hara, who fidgets impatiently by a striped tent, and walks over.
Great day, huh?
We've run out of time. We gotta press Joyce, and we gotta press her now.
What do you mean?
Cindy OD'd last night. Yeah, they released Chris this morning. He's probably on his way here now.
No.
And even better, Salazar told me I had to tell you this. If Joyce is Crisp's wife, she's got to cooperate and tell us about the money or she gets no police protection. Nice, huh?
Great. I cannot...
Ursula! How are you?
O'Hara and Kimball exchange glances.
What?
Kimball takes a deep breath.
Listen, got to tell you the truth. Her name is not Ursula. She's not my sister.
I beg your pardon?
We're not who you think we are.
What is this?
You're police officers. We know who you are, Rachel.
This is some kind of joke, right?
No, this is no joke. You took $3 million.
No, I think you've got...
Listen, Crisp knows where you are. He could be here any minute.
Where's Dominic?
We can offer you immunity for your testimony. You won't go to jail, but we need you to help.
Where's Dominic?
He's in a pony. He's fine. The only way we can offer you protection is if you tell us where the money is.
There is no money. There never was.
I'm not finished yet.
The bad people have found us again. Please do what I say.
Let's talk about that. What do you mean there's no money?
Why are you mad at Mr. Kimball?
Because he's a jerk.
Please let me help you.
Leave me alone.
She drags Dominic into a red geotracker.
Joyce, wait. Wait. If you didn't take the money, then why is he after you?
He doesn't want me. He wants Dominic.
She speeds off, leaving Kimball looking on. O'Hara catches up to him.
She's gonna run again.
Yeah.
Unless we do something about it.
Yeah.
Hey, snap out of it!
In town, Crisp approaches the man who bought the toy cars.
Daryl, I'm sorry. I wanted to give you a second chance. 200 cash. What is wrong with you, mister?
I'm still not getting through to you, am I, Daryl?
He knees Daryl in the groin and smacks his head against the door of his blue Chevrolet C10. Eleanor waits at a pharmacy counter.
Mother, got this great surprise for Junior.
That'll be $57.90.
$57.90. Children's aspirin. Children's decongestant, antihistamine.
A rectal thermometer.
A thermometer?
There's a lot of flu going around this time of year, isn't that so?
It is the season.
Boy's not sick.
Doesn't hurt to take precautions.
Mother, you are going to make him sick.
Nighttime, Kimball speeds up to Joyce's house and screeches to a halt. He runs up the steps through the front door.
Joyce!
He searches the rooms of the house. Papers and letters are scattered all over the floor in the study.
Joyce, Dominic!
He runs into the kitchen and round into the front room, but he finds nobody. He rushes up the stairs and checks the bedrooms. Dominic's clothes are strewn all over his bed. He runs back down the stairs and then bumps into Joyce in the kitchen.
Let go of me! Where's Dominic?
I don't know. What happened?
No, you let him, Joyce. If he is Dominic, I'll kill you!
Stop it!
John, let go of me!
We'll find him. Stop it.
Dominic.
We'll find him. We'll find him.
Dominic!
Did he say anything before he left?
I don't know. He said something about going to get his lasers.
Lasers? I think I know where he is.
They race across the lawn carrying torches. The steel-framed telecoms tower. Dominic is halfway up and climbing, carrying a small rucksack. In his red and white baseball jacket, he stops, grips a rung on the ladder, and pulls out one of several long pieces of rolled-up tinfoil poking out of his bag. He reaches dangerously over and wraps it around a metal grill. A pigeon flaps past and Dominic falls, but his rucksack snags and he's left hanging there.
Help! Help! Somebody! Help! Oh, Dominic, hold on!
Here,
be careful!
Help!
Just hold on, I'm right here. Good boy. Come on, just hold on.
Okay. Okay. Just hold on.
Oh, good. Okay.
I was trying to put the lasers in the antenna.
I know. Don't worry about anything now. Okay? I got you. All right, just hold on tight now. Hold on tight, okay? Good.
Dominic wraps his arms around Kimball's neck. Later, he lays asleep soundly in his bed.
If I lost Dominic, I don't think I could go on living.
You're not gonna lose him.
That's right, I'm not.
She hoists up a suitcase.
Alan told everybody I stole his money. That way he had all these creeps looking for us to collect a big reward. You don't know what he's like.
Oh, yes, I do. I know him well. That's why I don't want him to get his hands on you and Dominic.
I can't trust you. I can't trust anybody.
You can trust me.
Oh, yeah, that's what you said before.
He stares at her.
Then you turned out to be a cop.
I didn't mean to hurt you. I wish I was a kindergarten teacher. But I'm not. I'm a cop. That's all I know how to be.
She shakes free of his grip.
I have to get out of here. You have a son. If you were me, you'd do the same thing.
She goes over to her dresser.
I have a son I've hardly seen in the last 7 years. I don't mean anything to him. My ex-wife got remarried. She doesn't want me to be part of his life.
She stands with her back to him and listening.
I lost my family. I should never have let it happen.
Why are you telling me all of this?
I don't want to lose you.
They stand close together, staring into each other's eyes.
I don't want to lose Dominic. I swear, you will never have to run from him again.
She lunges forward and they kiss passionately. Morning.
Don't worry about anything, okay? We're going to be right across the hall here.
Everything's going to be fine, Joyce. We just want to be extra careful.
Thanks.
Don't worry.
He kisses her on the cheek outside a classroom of gawking children.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Kimball.
Sit down. Very nice to see you all again. Meet my very good friend Phoebe O'Hara.
Good morning, Phoebe.
Now, Miss O'Hara is going to talk to you about something very important. So I want you to pay real attention to what she has to say, okay? Remember, no fear.
Thanks. Okay, now, today we're going to talk about something else that's really important. Today, we're going to talk about strangers. Like, let's say you're at home and a stranger knocks on the door. You should never answer the door, never, because we never talk to strangers. Okay, why don't we all say that together?
We never talk to strangers.
Right, okay, let's
say... How about kids? Can we talk to kids?
Yeah, it's okay. You can talk to kids. That's all right.
What about dogs?
Huh?
Can we talk to dogs?
Yeah, you can talk to dogs. That's okay. But what you can't do, what you must never, ever, 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 ever do is...
Never talk to strangers.
On the kindergarten level, we try to emphasize the three C's. Caring, courtesy, and courage.
Miss Schlasky talks to Crisp.
Courage. That's my philosophy, too.
Are you a single parent, Mr. Green?
No, my wife had to stay behind in Phoenix to complete the sale of our home. She asked me to check out the local schools before we committed to buying a home here.
The corridor.
Most kindergarten children can't read yet.
My son can.
Really? He reads at 6. That's good.
And writes. I taught him myself.
He sounds like a very special child.
Yes, he is. He's a great athlete.
Here's what you've been waiting for, the kindergarten. Have a look.
Crisp peeps through. Kimball suddenly emerges from among the crowd of kids.
He looks a little odd, but he's a wonderful teacher.
Yes, I'm sure he is.
Crisp glances ominously behind him, and he and Miss Schlowski wander off. Eleanor waits in the car.
Did you see Cullen Jr.?
Yeah. She calls him Dominic. She'd always wanted to name him Dominic. A dumb name.
That cigar out. It's unhealthy for the kid.
She hands him a pistol, and he kisses her on the cheek. In the school, the corridors are empty. Crisp creeps through a door and tiptoes into a small deserted library. The walls are covered with rows of books. On the desk in front of him, a colourful child's painting of three people smiling and holding hands under a fried egg sun. He screws it up and stuffs it into a bookshelf. He takes a small can of lighter fluid from his pocket and squirts it at the books. He then puts a lighter to it and the whole thing woofs up. Hey. Kimball leads a line of children pretending to be aeroplanes. Outside, thick smoke billows up from a ground floor window. O'Hara and Kimball look at each other.
Check it out.
Right.
Because they come, it's probably fire drill.
Oh, man. Kimball, the hallway's full of smoke.
Okay, this is a fire drill. Come on. Come on. It's the real thing now. Just the way we practiced it. 2x2, come on. Go out there. Fast. Just the way we practiced it.
Dominic picks up the ferret. In the smoke-filled hallway, O'Hara tries to organize the panicking children. The lights spark and the automatic sprinkler system switches on. The children run screaming out of the school. Miss Schlowski steers the hordes of pupils to safety. Red fire engines race down the street. Flames lick at the corridor as a girl is knocked down in the chaos. Kimball sees her.
Are you alright? Come on, let's go. Dominic, Dominic! Dominic!
Help! Somebody help me! Help! Ranger! Ranger!
Crisp has Dominic. It carries them up a flight of steps. All the children point and Kimball chases after them, drenched by the sprinklers. Once upstairs, Kimball steps up to the corner and pulls a pistol from his trouser leg. He startles a young brunette teacher ushering three children out. They run off. Joyce rushes back into the school. Kimball kicks open a classroom door. The room is empty. He stalks back down the corridor along the green laminate floor. He pokes his head into the classroom opposite, and while his back's turned, Crisp peeks around the corner. Unaware, Kimball continues down the corridor with his pistol raised. Crisp then sneaks down the steps with his hand over Dominic's mouth.
It's okay. I'm not gonna hurt you. It's okay. I'm a fireman. I help people.
He sits Dominic on a desk in an empty room.
Where's your hat?
My hat? I love it. I can't fool my own boy. He's just 6 years old. You're right. I'm no jerk fireman. I'm gonna tell you something, Dominic. It's gonna be hard for you to understand, but you gotta believe me.
In the dim room, the drenched Dominic and Crisp stare at each other.
I'm your father, Dominic. Your father. Don't you recognize me?
No.
Sure you do, it's me. Don't you remember Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? Look, see? We have the same kind of hands. Don't you remember?
I'm not my father. My father lives in France.
Oh, your mother told you that, but that's not true, Dominic. I'm your father. I've been searching for you for 5 long years.
Help! Help! Help!
Dominic, I'm your father. You're going to have to learn to trust me and do what I say. Do you understand?
Crisp holds his hand over Dominic's mouth.
Please! Don't you know the building is on fire?
Who thought it was another drill?
Yeah.
Well, get out!
Yes, sir.
Kimball catches two young teenagers smooching. They scarper. He follows them down the same steps that Crisp descended. Crisp runs along a corridor with Dominic. O'Hara runs around the building and tries to enter, but she's stopped by a fireman.
Whoa, that's a fire in there.
Yeah, I know. I got a kid in there. I gotta get
inside.
No way. Look, man, I'm a cop.
Well, if I ever need a ticket fixed, I'll call you, sweetheart. In the meantime, stay the hell out.
Come on.
Out. Go on.
All right.
She trots off round the corner, pulling a gun from her brown leather handbag. Eleanor sees her from the driver's seat of the Buick. She runs her over. O'Hara lays unconscious on the grass verge. Eleanor steps out of the car dressed immaculately in high heels and a grey skirt suit and picks up the silver snub-nosed pistol. Crisp is still racing around the school.
Quiet, you hear me? Quiet!
He pulls a gun as Joyce runs in through the double doors.
No!
Rachel! Just what I need.
Please, Colin, let him go! Let him go!
How the hell you get out of here?
Don't! Please, please don't do this! You're scaring him!
Scared? Of course he's scared. You're telling all these lies about me. My son doesn't even know me because of you.
Listen to me! Stop, just listen to me!
I'm his father! You stole him from me!
Please don't do this! Give him back!
Don't touch him! Dominic! I had to do it! I didn't want to do it. She made me do it! Everything's gonna be okay, Dominic. Dominic? Come back! I'm getting out of here! Dominic? I'm gonna start a whole new family.
Kimball creeps into the locker room.
Dominic!
Crisp chases Dominic as Kimball shushes Joyce.
I really love you. Do you understand that? Do you? Tell me you understand that. Tell me. Say it. Say it!
I understand.
Daddy.
Crisp becomes aware of Kimball.
Daddy.
Kimball!
No!
Hold it!
What are you doing?
Right there. Drop it!
No!
He's not your hostage. He's your son.
Drop it. On the floor.
You gonna do this to your own son? Huh?
Drop it! I'm losing it! Hurry!
Relax, okay. I'm putting it down.
Hurry!
Yeah. Here it is. Here it is. Just don't harm the boy. Okay?
Good. Good. You're smart.
Why don't you let the boy go now?
The boy is mine! He's my boy! You get your own goddamn family!
The ferret runs out of Dominic's cardigan and bites Crisp on the neck as he's about to fire on Kimball. He misses and hits Kimball in the leg, who goes down, grabs his own gun off the floor and shoots Crisp dead. His lifeless body collapses against the urinals.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Okay, Dominic.
Okay. Dominic!
Eleanor appears from around the corner holding O'Hara's gun. She shoots Kimball in the shoulder. She stalks past the lockers after Kimball to see Crisp's bloody corpse. She's angry as she picks up the gun Kimball dropped. She unloads it. She plonks the gun on a locker and slowly approaches Crisp's body. She looks down with her bouffant hair and Cruella de Vil silver streak. Kimball lays wounded in the corner of the shower room.
Where's my grandson?
I don't know.
She fires a warning shot.
Where's my grandson?
Go to hell.
Another warning shot.
That's where you're going, you son of a...
O'Hara rushes in with a baseball bat and smacks the gun out of Eleanor's hand before knocking her out.
You're not so tough without your car, are ya?
Paramedics carry Kimball out of the school entrance on a stretcher while county police lead Eleanor away in handcuffs. The kids approach the stretcher.
Kimball, are you alright?
Kimball is unconscious. His class crowd around as he is taken into the back of an ambulance. Zach walks alongside, looking down at him mournfully. Joyce stands beside Dominic, holding a brown blanket around them both. Dominic looks on, holding the ferret, as the paramedics close up the van and drive Kimball away. His class run after, all wrapped in brown blankets. Onlookers line the pavement, and a red fire truck with its ladder extended waits, lights flashing. A nurse spoon-feeds Kimball.
I hate this.
He lies in a hospital bed with his leg in a sling. O'Hara.
Nah, he doesn't want to eat that. He's a tough guy. Tough guys don't eat Jell-O.
I'll come back later.
Hi.
Hi, how you feeling?
Not much better. How about you?
I'll live. Man, you gotta check out of here. This stuff will kill you.
Just don't throw up on me.
I'm not gonna throw up on you. But I am gonna kiss you.
She leans forward on her crutches and pecks him on the lips.
Phoebe. Thanks. Thanks, partner.
Sure.
Hey, how's everybody feeling today? Listen, I brought some goodies for you. Oh, did I do that?
No, can I give you the flowers?
Thank you, honey. All right. I got some goodies and, got going on there. And a little something I cooked up myself for you.
Henry, I almost didn't recognize you with all your clothes on.
You know, you look pretty good yourself.
The wedding, the wedding, the wedding.
Oh, did I? Honey. I'm sorry.
The wedding.
Yeah. You're coming to the wedding, right?
Is it safe?
Henry smiles bashfully.
I wouldn't miss this for the world.
She grins.
So, where do we send the invitation?
Daytime at Astoria Elementary School. The stars and stripes flutters on a pole towering over the entrance. Miss Schlowski waits in the empty corridor as Kimball hobbles in with his legs strapped up. They shake hands. Painters redecorate the school. Miss Schlowski leads Kimball up to the kindergarten classroom door and smiles. They creep inside where the class sit unaware at small tables. Miss Schlowski hands Kimball a silver whistle.
They're all yours.
He smiles as he hobbles forward on a walking stick in a crisp white shirt and a grey-blue flannel jacket.
Hi, kids.
Mr. Kimball!
I'm back.
Yeah!
The children rush around him.
Didn't join the union until...
Joyce stands before a map of the USA holding class when she hears the cheering and smiles.
Class, excuse me.
In her white silk blouse and black knee-length skirt, she walks out of the class as the children rush to the window to watch. She enters into kindergarten to find the children crowding around Kimball. He notices her and stands up straight, and she smiles. Her grin broadens as she rushes forward.
Uh-oh, they're gonna do it.
They throw their arms around each other and kiss. He picks her up and spins around laughing as the children jump up and down in glee. ITFC, audio description.